right, the hour of 12:45 having arrived, I'm going to call to order the Greater Minnesota Jobs and Economic Development Finance Division. Members, I'm not going to repeat much about House Rule 10.01. You've used it now on numerous meetings. I'm not sure if a quorum is present. Ms. Schaefel, do we have a quorum?
Yes, there is a quorum.
All right. If there is a quorum, we're going to use that then to take the roll right now. So would you please take the roll?
Representative Pawlowski.
Present.
Representative Lean.
Present.
Representative Anderson.
I'm here. Anderson here. Thank you.
Representative Barr.
Here.
Representative Brand.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Okay. Representative Damuth.
Present.
Representative Gunther.
Present.
Representative Lehman.
Present.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
Present. Present.
Representative Mahoney. Representative Mahoney.
Present. Did you hear me?
I did, yes. Representative Christel.
Here.
Representative Poppy.
Present.
Representative Sandsted.
Present.
Representative Sauk.
Yep.
Nope. 15 members present.
Thank you. There is a quorum. The next item on the agenda, I will move the minutes of March 2nd. Is there any discussion to the minutes of March 2nd? And we can vote on that by a voice vote. So does anyone have any questions regarding the minutes of March 2nd? Seeing no questions, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Next on the agenda is House File 3029. The chair moves that House File 3029 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And with that motion before us, I'm going to offer the amendment that will put the bill into shape for the author. Then the author will address it. So I will now offer the DE1 amendment, which you should have in your emails. Is there any discussion to the DE1 amendment before I take a vote on it? Seeing none, all those in favor of the DE1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Eklund, I know you're out there somewhere. So Representative Eklund, would you speak to your bill as amended, please?
File 3029.
Yes,
thank you, House Mr. Chair and members. House File 3029 is the broadband bill. It was introduced originally in session. COVID-19 has showed the need for broadband now more than ever. Working, learning, or receiving health care remotely is impossible without it. There is considerable need for broadband in greater Minnesota, where thousands of households are still unserved. Schools will remain closed for this school year's, and schools have purchased technology to allow students to have internet access at home. This amendment allocates $8 million so that schools can apply for reimbursement. The amendment also sets aside $2 million to reimburse healthcare providers that purchase equipment to diagnose home health care needs during the pandemic. There's language in this amendment that if either one of these funds do not completely get used up, that it will revert to the broadband grant. And finally, the amendment has $10 million for the border broadband grant for this year. The funding is targeted for unserved areas of the state. And with that, Mr. Chair and members, I will stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Eklund. I believe we have the Office of Deed that also wants to testify to the bill as amended. Are they present?
Mr. Chairman, it's under my understanding that they would be present for this remote call.
The office has had two questions submitted to it by the chair. Could the office please identify itself for the members and for the record, and then address the questions that the chair has sent to you?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon. I'm Angie Dickinson. I am the Broadband Development Manager at the Office of Broadband Development at DEED. And I have two questions presented to me. Mr. Chair, are you ready for me to answer them at this time?
Ms. Dickinson, yes, proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. The first question that we were given was how close does this appropriation get us to our state speed goals? So I'm going to give you a little bit of background detail and then answer it directly. But in terms of progress toward our state speed goals, approximately 163 homes and businesses do not yet have access to our 2022 goal of 25x3 service, approximately 92%. And approximately 258,000 don't yet reach our 2026 target of 100x20 service. I'm using data from the last governor's broadband task force annual report. That report used an average cost of $5,500 per connection. And so using that amount, if we take an average cost of $5,500, and we had $10 million in state grant funding paired up with a one-to-one match that's currently required in our grant program. One-to-one matching grant from our grant recipients, we could provide connectivity for an estimated 3,600 locations. So in terms of stating how that gets us closer to our state speed goal, talk about that estimate in a different way. A $10 million investment could bring connectivity to approximately 2% of the estimated 163,000 households that lack a 25x3 service today. And that's assuming a 50% match from our grant recipients. Mr. Chair, would you like me to move on to the second question directly?
Ms. Dickinson, yes, move on to the second one, and then we'll see if there are any questions.
The second question was, when does the money actually go out to our grant recipients? So it's important to know that the border-to-border grant is a reimbursement-type grant, meaning that funding does not flow to a grant recipient until after expenses that are outlined in the grant agreement have been incurred and the grant recipient has submitted sufficient documentation to verify expenses. And that ends my testimony, Mr. Chair.
So, Ms. Dickinson, given the pandemic and the need that's out there, will these funds be expended, shall we say, by the end of the summer or by sometime in the fall, or would we be going into winter? Can you give at least an estimate on how fast these funds would be expended?
In terms of how fast they would be expended, our grants give the grant recipient 2 years to build out that infrastructure. I think it's important to know that our intent would be to have these funds encumbered before the end of this year, so that were we to receive this additional funding, we would launch a grant round, launch an RFP as quickly as possible so that the grants could be awarded before the end of the year and the funds encumbered.
Okay, thank you. Members, do I have anyone who wishes to ask a question?
Yeah, Representative Anderson has a couple of questions, Chair.
Representative Anderson, identify yourself and then please ask the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Anderson. And my first question has to do with the $8 million going to schools and that are underserved. And the bill, and I understand we realize that our schools are doing the best they can to do the virtual learning thing now, but the bill language says that the grants, actual grants, will be based on the first come, first served basis. But then it says prorated by the number of districts applying along with how much federal funding comes in. So to me, that doesn't talk about a first come, first served basis when you're talking about kind of spreading out over all that apply. Could that be clarified, please?
Ms. Dickinson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, I'm probably not the best person to speak to that particular question. That program is anticipated to be administered through MDE. Could you restate that question for me again, Representative Anderson, and I will...
Hey, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Chair Pawlowski. Well, the bill language talks about the size of the grants being based on the number of districts applying, and it's going to be kind of a, and then it also talks about the money will be distributed, prorated by the number of districts applying, and also it'll be affected by the federal funds that are available. So to me, first come, first served doesn't coincide with it being prorated by the number of districts applying. I just need an explanation of how that's going to be divided out, that money.
Ms. Dickinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson. I would expect that our office would work together with Department of Education to come up with the best protocol for administering that grant and allocating those funds to make sure that they were distributed fairly and evenly. And as we also learn more about the funding that is coming through the CARES Act.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Chair. Well, I guess my concern is if this is going to be a race to see who gets their grants in first, sometimes bigger districts have people that specialize in grant writing and our smaller districts kind of get left in the dust. So can we be assured that our smaller districts that probably need this the most will be part of the grant process and it won't be just based on who gets their grant applications in first?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I share your concern there. That would be certainly be my intent and my direction that that we would have an equitable process and that those funds would be distributed fairly and evenly as possible across the state.
Representative Anderson, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, thanks, Chair Pawlowski. I have a couple more questions. I appreciate that answer, and I hope that's how it's done. And also, this bill language talks about a different state match, which is kind of groundbreaking here. It goes to a 55% state match. Could you comment on that? And is that just a one?
Ms. Dickinson? Okay, go ahead.
Is that just a one-time difference in how we are going to appropriate these funds, or is that going to be ongoing?
Ms. Dickinson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, my understanding is that the intent was that this would be a one-time change related to this specific funding allocation. I also understand that the intent in the larger match is in relation to the higher cost to serve these areas, these unserved areas that remain.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I agree with that as we move ahead with the program, it's going to be more expensive to reach a lot of these homes. And then just the obvious question, we don't really know, and this may be directed more to the chair, but we don't really know the state of Minnesota's finances now. Is there money going to be available for this bill, Chair Pawlowski?
Representative Anderson, you've asked a question that all of us are asking, and I think the best answer is that will be decided in ways and means.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Lehman, you're next on my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm probably asking the same question that Representative Anderson just asked, with a little bit of nuance to it, maybe, and that is about the source of funds. It sounds like that's going to be ways and means that will determine that. But I know that we allocated $200 million to MMB, kind of a just an open-ended allocation to deal with any issues related to COVID. Obviously, broadband is an integral part of how we do business during this COVID pandemic. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if that $200 million has already been allocated, but I'm wondering if that might be a source of funds for this bill.
Representative Lehman, I'm not the one that could answer that question, but I believe that the governor has already accessed $36 million to speed up testing and also to provide resources for the University of Minnesota, Mayo, and then related health organizations. So that answer may have to come in ways and means again when we get an update on the forecast or in the meetings that will be scheduled for this coming week.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could just add, I think it's really important that we, you know, broadband, as we all know, is an area that we would all agree to, I think, to fund during this period of time. And I share Representative Anderson's concern about, you know, the kind of deficit we're going to be facing in the next biennium, the next budget year. So we really have to start looking at source of funds. And I'll just leave it at that.
Representative Lehman, I agree with you. And I'm going to go to Representative Eklund for an update on the status of this bill with the Senate. So Representative Eklund, could you give the members and the public a status of where you are with this language in the Senate?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I had to make sure I was unmuted. I apologize. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. So this the status of this bill in the Senate is Senator Westrum will be presenting it tomorrow in Wednesday in the Finance Committee. After that presentation, there will be another amendment that we will bring if it passes committee today to Ways and Means that should clarify some of Representative Anderson's questions. So there's a few language tweaks that need to be done. And all I know is further status on that is Senator Westrum in the Senate and myself in the House were directed to try to develop this bill for moving forward.
Representative Eklund, thank you. And I appreciate all the work that you've done and the updates that you've sent, particularly to me. Members, does that answer your question? Or Representative Lehman, do you want to make a follow-up question after hearing that?
I thank you, Mr. Chair. And hello, Mr. Eklund, Representative Eklund. Thank you. I want to say thank you, too. I'm on your bill, and I appreciate that it's been changed related to the current situation we're in. And I appreciate that it might have some additional detail to it when it comes out of the Senate that we can adopt. Thank you.
Anyone else have any further questions?
Yeah, Chair Pawlowski, this is Representative Anderson again.
Okay, Representative Anderson, proceed.
One more quick question, and this would be for you, Mr. Chair. It was said today that the change to a 55% match is going to be a one-time thing brought on by the added expense as this program moves ahead. Are you comfortable with the change in this bill being a one-time thing, or is this kind of setting the stage for moving it to a 55% match ongoing, in your opinion?
Representative Anderson, I'm not terribly comfortable with any of the finances we're dealing with right now until we get clarity on exactly what the state has available for it. So I'm going to proceed under the direction that the House and Senate are working together, as Representative Eklund has stated, that this bill isn't going to pass without support in the Senate, so that we have both the majority and minority caucuses, I hope, of both the House and the Senate involved and the governor. So at this point, that's the best answer I can give you.
Thank you.
Any further? Oh, Representative Christensen, Brent Christensen, I guess, wants to testify. I'm sorry, Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, for the record, my name is Brent Christensen, and I'm the president and CEO of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. I appreciate this opportunity to join your Zoom call and testify. There are a few things that I, a couple points I wanted to make. On behalf of the 44 members of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance, I want to say thank you for a couple things. First of all, last year was the first year that you funded the border-to-border broadband grant program for both years of the biennium. We had no idea at that time what a big deal that was going to be, but that has proven to help the communities of rural Minnesota start to develop plans and be able to hit the ground running this year in that. The additional $10 million that you've talked about is going to help us out in the long term. As rural broadband providers, we've been faced with two different separate issues related to fighting COVID-19. We've got the immediate need to get kids hooked up. Our members have used a variety of different means to get kids hooked up as they participate in e-learning. As some of you may know, all school districts in Minnesota, with the exception of two, are connected with fiber. But a lot of times when students get away from their home or get away from the school and they're learning from home, they don't have access to quality broadband. So we've worked very hard implementing everything from a discount internet services to get them hooked up at home, to working directly with school districts to identify what students don't have it and getting connected. This bill addresses that issue and helps get people hooked up in the short term. Also with telehealth, this bill also helps in the short term and getting people hooked up with telehealth equipment. The $10 million that you've been talking about is more of the long-term response to this. I believe, and many others do, that this is the recovery from this is going to take a while. And so getting this additional money in the program is a huge asset and will help us to get quality broadband border to border throughout Minnesota. One thing I want to make really clear here, Angie got asked a question about how much money is it going to take to fix this. And I know she has to use the research she's got available to her. The answer is, if you put this money in here, that doesn't mean we're done. It means we're going to be done sooner. We're going to need this program for a few years to make sure that all Minnesotans have access to quality broadband. But this is going to help us address some of the problem areas that we've got and hopefully help the rural economy recover quicker as we come out of this deal. So with that, I would just like to say thank you for your consideration, and I hope you'll support this bill. And with that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Members, do you have any questions of Mr. Christensen?
This is Duane. Sorry if I got to get myself unmuted.
Oh, Representative Salk. Okay, Representative Salk, go ahead. Proceed with your question.
Yeah, Mr. Christensen, you were mentioning the process of becoming ubiquitous across the state, which I'm using that word on purpose because somebody can have access, and that it, for all practical purposes, it's a puny version of the experience that the internet should be offering somebody. And so at what point and what kind of words should we be using so that we aren't technically getting our foot in the door relative to people's use, and that in reality, we are only giving them a moderate taste of what they should be receiving? And I know I'm asking you to make some judgments there, but please make them from the point of view of a sarcastic person, not from the point of view of a benevolent person.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Salk. Mr. Chairman, Representative Salk. Sarcasm is one of my fortes, so I'm happy to address that. I think that the answer to your question, if I understand it correctly, is really in the rules of the program that have been around for 4 or 5 years. we have worked very hard on the front end of this to make sure that we had rules in this program that whatever money that the government, the state contributes to the program isn't wasted. So there's nine different rules in the program. One of them is that that whatever technology is used has to be scalable to 100 meg by 100 meg. And that I think addresses your issue to make sure that we're not just putting band-aids on this, that we make sure that we, whatever solution that the state issues in their grants, whatever solution is used is a long-term solution and not just a band-aid. Did that get your question, sir?
Yes, very much so. If I could give you an answer.
Let's go through this. Representative Salk, let's go through the chair.
I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, what I would like you to expound upon is, and let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you bring fiber to a school building, it's got a very robust server, but then it is sent out to a number of relatively old or anemic switches that then are going to deliver it to a connection line with a switch out in the country to somebody's household, that student is not going to get an experience that is anywhere measurable as being service, because he's not getting what he gets at school. At school, he's inside the server. Out at his farm, he is three switches away from that experience. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. We can say he's technically connected from his home, but he is actually an experience at a very, very low rate. And I would like us to know that when we are thinking we've got universal access or robust access across the state, that really what we've got is we've got robust access to the servers that we have around the state.
Mr. Christensen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Salk, I think you and I have different ideas of how the network is laid out. The schools are connected with fiber to a backbone, whether it's at a central office or a head end, that's independent of how the students are hooked up at home. It's a different network. They could get their internet through the local telephone provider, the local cable provider, fixed wireless internet service provider, satellite even, or even cellular service. So that's a different connection. I will tell you, for our members, and we serve the vast majority of the very rural parts of the state, we've got some pretty robust networks out there. There's fiber to the home in a lot of the state. I think Minnesota has 480 some gigabit communities. So there's a lot of areas that have very robust service. There are a lot of areas that still don't, and that's why we still need this program. So it's, the student is not getting their connection to the school at home the same way they do at a school, to be sure. But at the same time, they're not actually connected to the school directly. So it's over the internet. And that's why we have to have a robust broadband network.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to comment on that. Yeah, thank you very much. Because you took the trapdoor that I was hoping you would see and do it. Because the fact is that what we believe we hear is not necessarily what you guys have installed. And we should understand how the installation actually creates an improvement to that connection. And you described that very, very artfully. And I think that is what I was fishing for, is that oftentimes the choices of the recipient are instrumental in the experience of connection that the person may have. So it's not only what the state is laying in, but it's also, or the system is laying in, but part of it is also some local decisions or some personal decisions along the way. So thanks very much. I don't need any more.
All right. Members, any further questions of Mr. Christensen? Seeing none, is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Seeing no one else wishing to testify, Representative Eklund, I'm going to go back to you for a final summary before we take a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill is a step towards the critical infrastructure that we need for the state of Minnesota, and I like to liken it to a saying that Representative Sandstead a while back. This is our new electrification. That's how we're moving broadband. We got to move broadband just like we moved rural electrification. So thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for your indulgence, and I hope the bill has support.
Members, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 3029, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Representative Lean.
Aye.
Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson.
Anderson votes aye.
Representative Barr.
No.
Representative Brand.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damuth.
Aye.
Representative Gunther.
Aye.
Representative Lehman.
Aye.
Representative Liz Lagarde. Representative Liz Lagarde. Representative Liz Lagarde votes aye.
Aye.
Representative Mahoney.
Aye.
Representative Purcell.
Aye.
Representative Poppy.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Sauk.
Yes.
There are 14 ayes and one nay.
Being that there are 14 ayes and one nay, the motion prevails and the bill will be re-referred as amended to Ways and Means. Members, I have no other business before the committee. With that, the committee is adjourned.